All right, good afternoon again.
Afternoon, sweet.
God's people.
Yes.
It's good to be back again to talk about the same thing. God has one story.
Yes. One.
God has one message. There are no 500 messages with every year with the theme. At the beginning of the year, people come with themes. We have a theme for the year. And much of those themes are foolishness. In the Church of Christ, there's only one theme. It's Christ and what He has done to serve His people. So I'm saying these things so that you begin to listen better. Wherever someone says Jesus, you have to open your ears like the rabbit ears. Yes. Make them big. And say, what are they talking about my Savior? What are they saying?
Yes.
And don't agree with people to agree with them. If they're not telling the truth, you should tell them that they're not telling the truth. So we had a wonderful message. I believe the Lord blessed you with the earlier message. And that is our pattern of teaching. We take a story, an ordinary story, and make it glorious.
Hallelujah.
Because that's what God meant when He gave the story.
Amen.
God is telling the story of His Son and of our salvation using the life of ordinary people like you and me.
Amen.
But we need the gospel to know what God was teaching. So we're going to go into another Old Testament story. And this will be our message number 5. And before we do that, let's go to the Lord and ask for His blessing upon His word.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this afternoon. We thank You for gathering us together as God's people, that we may hear the testimony of Christ Jesus. May You help us not to get tired of hearing about Jesus. Cause Your people to see who Christ is and what He has done and what that should mean to them. Because many do not understand what it means that Jesus died. We thank You for the words that have been spoken already. Now we pray for Your blessing on the words that shall be spoken this afternoon. We honor You, we glorify You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Genesis 38.
Another story. Genesis 38.
Genesis 38. And Moses again recorded and said, it came to pass at that time that Judah departed from his brothers and visited a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he married her and went into her. So she conceived and bore a son, and he called his name Er. And she conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. And she conceived yet again and bore a son, and called his name Shelah. He was at Kezeb when she bore him. Then Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. And Judah said to Onan, go into your brother's wife and marry her, and raise up an heir to your brother. But Onan knew that the heir would not be his. And it came to pass when he went into his brother's wife that he emitted on the ground, lest he should give an heir to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, therefore he killed him also. That Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow in your father's house till my son Shelah is grown. For he said, lest he also die like his brothers. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. Now in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died, and Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shearers at Timnah, he and his friend Hira the Dulamite. And it was told to Tamar, saying, look, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep. So she took off her widow's garments, covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place which was on the way to Timnah, for she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given to him as a wife. Verse 15. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot, because she had covered her face. Then he turned to her by the way and said, please let me come into you, for he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. So she said, what will you give me that you may come into me? And he said, I'll send a young goat from the flock. So she said, will you give me a pledge till you send it? Then he said, what pledge shall I give you? So she said, your signet ring and cord and your staff that is in your hand. Then he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. So she arose and went away and laid aside her veil and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the young goat by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he did not find her. Then he asked the man of that place, saying, where is the harlot who was openly by the roadside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. So he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. Also the man of the place said, there was no harlot in the place. Then Judah said, let her take them for herself, lest we be ashamed. For I sent this young goat, and you have not found her. And it came to pass, about 3 months after, that Judah was told, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. Furthermore, she is with child by harlotry. So Judah said, bring her out and let her be burned. When she was brought out, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man to whom these belong, I am with child. And she said, please determine whose these are, the signet and the cord and the staff. So Judah acknowledged them and said, she has been more righteous than I, because I did not give her Shelah my son. And he knew her, and he never knew her again. Now it came to pass, verse 27, at the time of giving birth, that behold, twins were in her womb. So it was when she was giving birth that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took a scarlet thread and bound it on his hand, saying, this one came out first. Then it happened, as he drew back his hand, that his brother came out unexpectedly, and she said, how did you break through? This breach be upon you. Therefore his name was called Perez. Afterward, his brother came out who had the scarlet thread on his hand, and his name was called Zerah. And that is the word of the Lord. May the Lord profit it for our sake. We have three titles to our message. Where is the harlot? Where is the harlot? Or where is the prostitute? Number two, no harlot in this place. No harlot in this place, or no prostitute in this place. And number three, who made you pregnant? Who made you pregnant? John 5:39. The Lord Jesus said to the Jews, you search the scriptures. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But it is they that testify of me. You study the scriptures, make a lot of sermons, and come out with nothing.
Yes, nothing.
Because you don't realize that the scriptures are talking about me. And there was no New Testament when the Lord Jesus said this.
Oh, yes.
He was talking about all these scriptures in the Old Testament. And he's saying to the Jews, you are studying them, but you do not get it because you think it is about you obeying God, you doing the law. No, they are talking about me. Okay?
Yes.
The scriptures in the Old Testament are not bedtime stories. They are not for us to have examples to copy.
Yes.
They are talking about Jesus. Both the old and the new are saying the same thing. Christ Jesus. So the Jews knew the scriptures. Like we could never know the scriptures as much as they did. Because they memorized them. Verse by verse. Book by book. They had them tattooed on their foreheads. But they did not understand what they were saying. Like a lot of churches. They do not understand what God is saying. Moral lessons are killing the teaching of the gospel.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Because people want to make the scriptures relevant to the life of people. But that's not God's purpose.
Hallelujah.
Okay?
Yes.
That's not what God means by the scriptures. God is saying, if you should find encouragement, it is only in Christ Jesus. So examples of moralistic messages would be something like, do not be like David who killed Uriah and took his wife. So don't be like David. Be like Joseph who ran away from Miss Potiphar. But that's not how to understand the stories.
Oh, yes.
Because number one, you are not Joseph.
Yes.
You are Miss Potiphar.
Me.
So you can't run away from yourself.
Hallelujah.
Miss Potiphar is the sinner.
Yes.
Joseph is the righteous man.
Uh-huh.
So he's Christ. You are Miss Potiphar. You can't run away from yourself.
Oh, yes.
A sinner cannot run away from themselves. Joseph is a picture of Jesus. Because it is he who was not from Egypt, came with the knowledge of salvation in the time of hunger. And he fed all the nations of the world by his food program. And became the second to Pharaoh. Seated on the right hand of power to Pharaoh. And that's Christ Jesus.
Glory.
So you are not Joseph. You are Miss Potiphar. And thank God that you are Miss Potiphar. Because Joseph did not leave Miss Potiphar without something. He left his garment.
Oh, yes.
He left his righteousness to Miss Potiphar. So that garment that Joseph left is a picture of the righteousness of Christ that has been left to a sinner. Because Miss Potiphar had a story that Joseph was trying to rape her. Right?
Yes.
And of course she was lying. Just like Jacob. And both of them end up with the garments.
Yes.
With the righteousness. And when Mr. Potiphar came back from work, Miss Potiphar said, well, your servant, Joseph, was trying to rape me. And here is the evidence. She only had one piece of evidence.
What?
The garment that Joseph left her. That was the only evidence she had to convince her husband of the truth of her story, which was a lie, but she had the evidence. Miss Potiphar could not go to the flea market to buy another garment of Joseph. She had to show her husband the garment of Joseph that the husband knew already.
You are right. Thank you. Glory to God.
She could not bring another garment that the husband did not recognize. Otherwise, the story is not true. And Joseph was such a strong young man at this time of the story. You know that. He was too young and strong. He was not overpowered by that woman.
No.
If he wanted to run away with his garment, he would have taken his garment with him. But he willingly left the garment to her because Christ willingly left his righteousness to us.
Glory to God.
That's how he preached the stories. So if we do not understand the gospel testimony, that these scriptures are testifying of Christ, then we have not understood the stories. So that means our thinking about the Bible must change. It must change. It needs to change. Because many define their salvation by what they have not done. I have not done what Miss Potiphar tried to do.
Yes.
I have not done, if you are the man, I did not do what David did. So I should be righteous before God. Yeah?
Yes.
But that's not the gospel. That's not how you get righteous. God is saying you must have a garment to cover your nakedness. So you're going to see this theme again and again and again and again. So here the testimony of the Lord Jesus after the resurrection, when he was with his disciples. You know, when Jesus resurrected from the dead, he did not just go to heaven. He came looking for his disciples and he had conversation with them. Let's hear what happened from the book of Luke. Luke 24. We're building the background to our story. Luke chapter 24. Verse 44 to 47. The book of Luke, 24, 44 to 47. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me."
Concerning me.
Written by Moses, the Psalms, the prophets concerning
me,
concerning him. So all things that were written in the law of Moses, the five books of the law, the prophets, the Psalms, that is to say the whole Old Testament, concerns Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Because the Bible is about things concerning Christ. But what has to happen for us to understand the gospel and see Christ not just in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament? Luke continued and said, verse 45, still in the same chapter, Luke 45. And he opened their understanding, that they may comprehend the scriptures.
Yes.
And he, Jesus, opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures.
Yes.
Christ is he who opened their understanding.
Yes.
May he also open our understanding.
Amen.
That we may understand the scriptures.
Oh, yes.
Because see, these are disciples who ate and drank every day with Jesus, and they still did not know how to read Jesus when they had Jesus every day. They were walking with Jesus every day. Still, they needed him to open their understanding. Verse 46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So preaching repentance and remission of sins in his name to all nations is exactly what the Lord has sent me to do.
Glory.
And as I said yesterday, repentance is a turning to God in Christ. And the remission of sins is saying, preach the Christ of the cross and his blood by which your sins were canceled. Preach the cross. So we have our story of Judah and Tamar. It is a very popular story, but a very embarrassing story to a lot of people, if we leave it in the hands of people who do not know the gospel.
Yes.
It is very embarrassing. But God is the one who gave it. He is the one who recorded. And he was not embarrassed by his own preaching. So we should not be embarrassed of God's preaching. Because that is God's sermon of the gospel. And we have to find our hope in this story. And I said somewhere that wherever we find Christ, we find good news for a sinner. Wherever we find Jesus, we find hope for the sinner. So it has been a while in the developing of the story, in the recording of the story. It has been a while since Judah and his brothers had sold their brother Joseph to the Ishmaelites. If you still remember, in Genesis 37, the brothers of Judah, the brothers of Joseph, being jealous of their brother because of his dreams, they decided to get rid of him. So they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites then sold Joseph to Mr. Potiphar in Egypt. So it has been a while since this has happened. And it was Judah who had suggested to the brothers that they should not kill Joseph, but instead to sell him to the Ishmaelites who were going to Egypt. They were in the business of selling, buying merchants, spices, and all kinds of things. Yeah? And Joseph had been put in the dungeon, put in the pit by the brothers in an attempt to kill him because of his dreams. And we have a message on that, but not today. Because Christ was already being preached.
Amen.
Right. But hear this from Genesis 37. Genesis 37, verse 26 and 27. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. Judah says, what profit is there for us to kill and or shed the blood of our brother and then hide it? To him, he's saying, that's not a good thing for us to do. But then in the gospel sense, that is also saying, what is the purpose of the Christ who has died and you hide the preaching of his blood?
Hallelujah.
What profit is it that Christ has died and you're not preaching the blood?
Yes.
You're not preaching the cross. It does not profit anyone. You have to preach the cross. You have to preach the Christ.
Glory.
But sometime, going back to our story, Judah left and went and settled in a place called Adullam. And this place was 15 miles. 15 miles would be maybe about 25 kilometers from Hebron, where he married a certain Canaanite woman. And that will take us to our story. Genesis 38, verse 1-5. It came to pass at that time that Judah departed from his brothers and visited a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Adullamite, of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua. And he married her and went into her. So she conceived and bore a son, and he called his name Er. She conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. And she conceived yet again and bore a son and called his name Shelah. He was at Kezib when she bore him. So Judah, on visiting his friend Hira, he met a Canaanite woman whose name was Shua and married her, and they had three sons together, Er, Onan, and Shelah. Verse 6. Then Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, and the name was Tamar. But Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. The Lord killed Er because he was wicked. His particular sin, we are not told what it was, but it did not please the Lord, and so God had no option but to kill him. Verse 8-10. And Judah said to Onan, go into your brother's wife and marry her, and raise up an heir to your brother. And Onan knew that the heir would not be his, and it came to pass when he went into his brother's wife that he emitted on the ground, lest he should give an heir to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, therefore he killed him also. God is seeing this. Do you know that God is paying attention to these details? I'm like, what are you doing in my bedroom? God is watching this.
Yes.
He's like, I know what you are doing. I want to kill you for it. What are you doing in my bedroom, oh God, oh forever? Because he's the sovereign one. Don't try to protect God.
Yes.
He comes into your bedroom.
Yes.
He knows all the details. So nothing is hidden from his sight. So by the law of the kinsmen, the second son, Onan, was to marry Tamar, the widow of his older brother, so as to raise an offspring for his brother. So the first brother, the oldest brother, had died without a son for inheritance. So the second brother was supposed to take the wife and try to raise an offspring to become the heir. However, Onan had some ideas. He used this law for his own sexual desires. He took advantage of the situation. But he refused the responsibility that went with raising the child, so he emitted on the ground and God took his life. Why is God so displeased with this? Are there not people in our time who are doing the same thing, but are getting away with it? Why is God so interested in this one? God has some interest because it is His story.
Hallelujah.
Everything that is happening is His script. And there's no one in this story who is doing anything apart from what God intends to be done. God wants things to go exactly the way they're going. And someone may say, if it is God's will to have Onan do what he did, why did he kill him? Why not stop him from doing what he did? Because that's how he wrote the story. Because he's God. He does whatever he wants. Because God will find you guilty, my brothers and sisters, of something that he caused you to do. Let me say that again.
Yes.
God will make you guilty for something that he made you to do. You still remember Judas?
Yes.
Who betrayed Judas? Who betrayed Jesus?
Judas.
But did Judas have a choice not to betray Jesus? Because if you say Judas had a choice to not betray Jesus, you are also saying that Jesus would not have been crucified. Because Jesus must be crucified, Judas must betray Jesus. What did Jesus say about Judas? Luke 22, verse 22. Luke 22, verse 22. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. The Son of Man goes where? He goes to the cross. But how? As it has been determined. Determined by Judas, by the devil. No, determined by God.
By God. Glory.
So Judas must betray Jesus because that is what God determined to be done by him, and that is why Judas was born. That is why Judas could not get COVID.
Yes.
Judas cannot get COVID. God is preserving him.
Yes.
For the cross of Christ. Now, does Judas get away because it's God who's causing him to do? No. What did Jesus say? But woe to that man by whom I go to be crucified.
Hallelujah.
I am going to be crucified, but judgment to the man who's going to betray me. But I came to be crucified. Lord have mercy. So war means eternal judgment. When you see God saying war, that's not a blessing. It is a judgment of condemnation. War to the man by whom I get crucified, but I must be crucified. And here, Apostle Peter, in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, 27 and 28. Peter said, for truly against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. The people of Israel, Pilate, Herod, they were gathered together against Holy Sabbath.
Yes.
But to do what? To do their mind?
No.
The text says to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done.
Glory to God.
So Jesus was not put on the cross by Pilate. Not by the Jews.
No.
It's God who put his son on the cross. He used them and found them guilty for doing something that he wanted to do.
Yeah. Thank you, Father, for saving me.
So everyone who was involved in the death of Jesus was doing exactly what God wanted to be done. He determined it before to be done. To the person who was plucking and pulling the beard of Jesus, to the person who was spitting in the face of Jesus, thank God it's not you.
Yes.
But these were raised to do that. That is called God's sovereignty. Is God doing whatever God wants to do?
Amen.
This is, my brothers and sisters, the God of the Bible. This is the God that we're dealing with. He is not waiting on anyone to decide anything about anything.
Oh, yes.
His purpose has already been determined for you and for everyone for his glory. Your sin, the type of your sin, how much of it, when you do it, and by whom you do it, where you do it, the consequences of it, already determined by him. He is ruling this thing called his creation. Let's go back to the text. Genesis. Let's pick up verse 11. Then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow in your father's house till my son Shelah is grown. For he said, lest he also die like his brothers. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. So Judah is now afraid that God will kill all his three sons, because the other two have already died. And he's left with this little one. And if anything happens, God may kill him also. So he's thinking, well, this woman is a killer woman. I'm losing all my sons to her. Let me take her back to your father's house. Go back to your father's house until such a time that Shelah would be grown and be given to you as a husband. Verse 12. We're going somewhere. We're working here. Now, in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shearers at Timnah, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. So sometime later, Judah's wife died. And Judah had been comforted from his bereavement. And he went up to his sheep shearers at a place called Timnah in the company of his best friend Hira. Judah apparently had quite a number of sheep that he would employ people as sheep shearers to shave off the wool, because the wool sometimes gets so heavy on the sheep it almost suffocates them to death. So they need to be sheared so that they can breathe. They don't overheat. Verse 18. It's all good. And it was told Tamar, saying, look, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep. So some people saw Judah headed to Timnah and alerted Tamar and said, Judah, your father-in-law, very well known. He must have been a very popular man in the area. Very recognizable figure. So Miss Tamar, on hearing that her father-in-law was in the area, what did she do? Verse 14. So she took off her garments, she took off her widow's garments, covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place which was on the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given to him as a wife. So it seems like this is something that Tamar was thinking to do. She had a plan to do this. She's like, I do not think I'm going to get Shelah for a husband. And this thing is not working for me. I've been waiting and waiting and nothing is coming my way. I have to come up with my own plan. I have a plan A and a plan B. I must take matters into my own hands. And even up to this point of her life, she was still wearing the widow's garments to say she did not have a husband. She was still in mourning. She's just a poor widow. So in that time, she would wear certain garments that would tell everyone that she is a widow. A widow's garment of shame, not having a husband and no children. What a miserable life for a woman to not have children. So she changed those clothes and covered herself with a veil and wrapped herself, and she sat in the open space on the way to Timnah and said, game on. Game on. Verse 15. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot because she had covered her face. But when Judah saw her, he immediately thought, this must be a prostitute. That was his conclusion right away. And that implies that Judah knew something about prostitutes. Otherwise, how could he have known?
Yes.
The covering of the face by Tamar was a signal to say the prostitution business is open. I am open for business. I am available to any man who is willing. Remember, Judah's wife had died. And that means Judah is on the hunt for another woman. Let's see if the thinking is correct. Verse 16. Then he turned to her by the way and said, please, hear Judah. Judah does not even say, hi, how are you? Hear what he says. Please let me come into you. Right away, may I lie with you? For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. It does not sound like Judah had any manners. Doesn't sound like he was missing his deceased wife. Judah does not say, oh, young lady, how are you? What are you doing? How is all I talk? No, he comes with one thing on his mind. A man on a mission. Please let me come into you. Judah is ready for business. But let us hear what Tamar said. So she said, so what will you give me that you may come into me? What are you going to give me? Tamar says, not so fast. We have to talk some payment first before we go into any business. What will you give me? There's nothing for free, something for something, and nothing for nothing. Verse 17. And he said, I'll send a young goat from the flock. Judah does not have M-Pesa or and cash app on his phone. He cannot wire money to Tamar. So he says, I'm going to bring a goat. I'll send a goat to you as a pledge. So, Miss Tamar is not happy with the suggestion. It is not going to work for her. Because she says, I have been deceived before by your kind a number of times. Sir, please, I need something more than just your words. So she said, will you give me a pledge till you send it? She says, oh, I agree that you can send me a goat, but I need something right now. Give me something right now. Give me a pledge. Leave me with something that I can hold on to, for a promise is a comfort to a fool. Give me something in your possession right now as a pledge that you do good on the proposed payment, that you come good on what you promised me. Verse 18. Then he said, what pledge shall I give you? So she said, your signet and your cord and your staff that is in your hand. Tamar is not playing. She says, give me your signet. That's the big ring. And your cord and your staff that is in your hand. The staff is the walking stick that you had the other night.
Oh, yes.
And we are good to go.
Yes.
So she is a professional harlot. She's like, I've been played a lot in this business. I really want things of substance.
Yes.
Then he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. So Judah agreed and gave to Tamar all the things that she demanded, and the deal was sealed, and boom, Miss Tamar gets pregnant. Incredible that she got pregnant right away, just as happened to Bathsheba with David.
Yes.
This line of Judah is a very dangerous line.
Yes.
They lie with a woman, they get pregnant right away. The line of Judah. Dangerous tribe. When it comes to making people pregnant. Verse 19. So she arose and went away and laid aside a veil and put on the garments of her widowhood. So after that, Miss Tamar went home and took off her veil and put on the garments of her widowhood. So she changed the clothes. And that was saying, I am done with my prostitution. My prostitution has accomplished its purpose. It has done what I wanted to do. Not only does she have a child by Judah, she also has in possession the things of Judah.
Yes.
She has the child of Judah, and she has the things of Judah. Let's keep working.
Yes.
Verse 20. And Judah sent the young goat by the hand of this friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand. But he did not find her. Now, Judah had a very wonderful friend, a very good and faithful friend, who was willing to do some dirty work for a dear friend. That's what good friends are for. You use them when you want to do some dirty things. And Hira is there to do the dirty work for Judah.
Yes.
So he agreed to go with the young goat on behalf of Judah, that Judah may recover the things that he had given to Tamar as a pledge. Judah wants his things back. Because if people discover that Tamar has Judah's things, Judah is in trouble. But there was a problem. The harlot could not be found. Verse 21. Let's keep working. Then he asked the man of that place, saying, this is Judah's friend, where is the harlot who was openly by the roadside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. So he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. Also, the man of the place said, there was no harlot in the place. So Hira even made inquiries of the harlot who was openly by the roadside. This is very interesting to me. But the dude has a goat. Imagine, brother, you have a goat. You go in a place where prostitutes gather. Right? Mm-hmm. And you're walking with your God and saying, where was the prostitute who was here? Where is the prostitute? There was no harlot in this place. Are you crazy, my friend? But those who saw Hira with the God understood what he was doing. And they were laughing. I guarantee you they were laughing.
Yes.
Because they knew what was going on. So Hira went back to Judah with a bad report, with bad news, and said, oh, my dear brother, I tried my very best.
Yeah.
I even asked everyone around Oloi Tok Tok, but I could not find the prostitute.
Yes.
Couldn't find the prostitute. Now I'm headed to Nairobi, still looking for the prostitute. Mm-hmm. I heard she may have found a job there.
Yes.
Then Judah said, let her take them for herself, lest we be shamed. For I sent this young God and you have not found him. Judah says, let her take them, the pledge for herself, lest we be shamed. If we keep looking for her, the whole community is going to know.
Yes.
Yeah? So let her keep those things to herself. So Judah is feeling bad about himself. And he's trying to come to terms with the situation. He's resigning himself. But at the back of his mind, he's thinking, this is not looking good. Because very soon, on the 8 o'clock news, something is going to happen.
Yes.
I need to get my things as quickly as possible.
Yes.
Because trouble, I feel trouble is brewing.
Yes.
Verse 24. And it came to pass, about 3 months after, that Judah was told, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. Furthermore, she is with child, she is pregnant by harlotry. So Judah said, bring her out and let her be burned. So 3 months later, there was breaking news on the TV. It has come to the open that Judah's daughter-in-law had played the harlot and was now pregnant with a child of harlotry. If you ask me, looking at the story, I think it's Tamar who downloaded the news to the TV stations. It's Tamar who told the TV reporters that I am pregnant with a child of Judah. So she knows again. She is no fool. Not this time around. But see what Judah did not do. Judah does not say, let me go check and hear what actually happened. Let me go and confirm if this is actually true. No, he goes to condemnation right away.
Yes.
He says, bring her out and she must be burned alive. Bring her here, I said. I'm not even waiting to hear his side of the story. Bring her out and let's burn her. And that sounds like the same streak of in the family of Judah. Was David, a descendant of Judah, through the child that Judah has with Tamar, was approached by Nathan the prophet on account of Bathsheba and Uriah after David had killed Uriah. What did David say to Nathan? That man must die. And Nathan said, you are the man, David. You are the one, you are the man that I'm talking about. So David only changed his mind when he heard that the man was supposed to die. So David was a descendant of Judah. And it seems like he inherited some of these Judah genes with women. Man, God is so incredibly amazing in the way he tells the story of Christ. This is all talking about Jesus. We're going to see. Yes. Let's keep working. Verse 25. When she was brought out, verse 25, she sent to her father-in-law saying, "By the man to whom this belong, I am with child." And she said, "Please determine who these are, the signet and cord and stuff." So Tamar is not even afraid. Tamar is not shaking, even though the condemnation of death has been pronounced on her. She knows her game very well. She says, "What about this bombshell? I am with child. Yes, I agree. I am pregnant. But by the man to whom all these things belong. Please help me. Look carefully to determine who they are. The signet, the cord, and the stuff. Help me, someone who knows, who owns these things. Maybe we can settle the matter without wasting people's time. We can all go home and have ugali." Tamar says, "We don't have to do much DNA testing here.
Yes.
Just find the guy who owns this stuff. I have some good evidence. I have some good evidence." Verse 26. So Judah acknowledged them and said, "She has been more righteous than I, because I did not give her to Shelah my son, and he never knew her again." That is right. Judah is guilty. Case closed. Tamar and the child, they live to see another day, and Tamar is not condemned. So that is the story. And now let's go to the gospel. This is a scandalous story. And as I said, without Christ, you can never clean it up. For what God meant to teach by it. But I came to share with you the wonderful news of Christ, and that to say all that we have been talking about is just the introduction to the story. Let us now work the gospel testimony as we did the previous message. Judah was married, and his two sons both died without leaving an heir. Judah's wife then dies, and there begins all the problems. All this death in this family is causing trouble. And that trouble is going to complicate the life of Tamar. But to sort things out, we must again find who is Christ in the story. Because if we do not do that, we can never understand the story. So we begin by defining Judah. Who is Judah? Genesis 49. Let's go to Genesis 49. Genesis 49, verse 8 to 12. This is Jacob blessing his sons. And this is what he had to say about Judah.
Yes.
Verse 8, "Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise.
Yes.
Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you." The children of the father. All those born of God shall bow before Judah.
Oh, yes.
Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you've gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion, and as a lion who shall rouse him. He is the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah.
Yes.
Nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And you see, Shiloh, S is capital S.
Yes.
And to him, now, see, the him is supposed to be capitalized also, if you have a correct Bible, shall be the obedience of the people. And to him, so this is not talking about this Judah, he's talking about the other Judah who is about to come, Christ Jesus, verse 11,
hallelujah,
binding his donkey to the vine and his donkey's cord to the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth whiter than milk. That's Christ Jesus from the conquering tribe of Judah, the Lion of Judah. Hear this again, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. So the scepter of righteousness, the kingship, shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh comes, till Christ comes. It is he who has the scepter of righteousness, which was given to Tamar by Judah. Verse 11, binding his donkey to the vine and his donkey's cord to the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine. And that is to say, Judah is a type of Christ. So we have identified Judah. Judah is Christ. So who then is Miss Tamar? Miss Tamar did not have children. Her first husband, Er, could not give children to her. And so he died. So did the younger brother, Ola, who too died without giving Tamar any children. And that means no inheritance.
Yes.
No life, no hope for Tamar in Judah. Shame for Tamar in Judah. The man that she has been married to are miserable men, it looks like. But the issue with them is that for one reason or another, they all fail to give Tamar a child to be an heir. That's the problem. And so what is God's solution? What is God working in this story? What is really going on? Because the matter here is inheritance. And in the matter of the gospel, God presents the matter of salvation as a matter of inheritance. So you see this right from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We have obtained an inheritance in Christ. Inheritance, inheritance, inheritance. So the issue here is there must be raised a man who becomes the firstborn by whom God's people who have inheritance. And why are all these dying without giving Tamar any hope? Because they were types of the law. Because the law does not bear children to God. It only bears fruit to death. So we see the same thing with Ruth in the book of Ruth. Her husband, Mahlon, died in Moab. And she also did not have any children. And we know how her mother-in-law, Naomi, had brought her back to Bethlehem, Judah, and had organized for her to get married to Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. You know the story. So in Ruth 4, verse 10, we are told this. Hear this from Ruth chapter 4. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife, this is Boaz talking, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance,
yes,
that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are my witnesses this day. So Ruth was given to Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, that he may raise an offspring to give us and inheritance. And we know that Christ is coming through the line of Boaz and Ruth. Christ is coming through the line of Judah and Tamar. And it keeps going until Jesus shows up. So God is preserving the line of the firstborn. So this is the matter that Tamar was trying to solve for herself, to find a husband who could raise a son for her. But in our story, Judah's wife, Shua, died. And so this opens up the opportunity for the story to keep moving. So Judah decided to go and check out on his ship, on his ship shearers at Timnah, in the company of his beloved friend, loyal friend, Hira, the Adullamite. So what is the importance of Judah going to check out his ship in the ship shearer? What does God mean by that? Judah is on a mission to check the sheep and the sheep shearers. And that is defining for us the mission of the Lord Jesus. The Lord came on a mission to check out his sheep and to give instructions to the sheep shearers, the preachers.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
The sheep shearers are the gospel preachers who keep the sheep healthy by a constant shaving through first faithful gospel preaching. But if the sheep are not sheared off their wool, they get too uncomfortable. They get too hot and they die. When true believers are not hearing the gospel, they know it. And they don't feel right. They know something is not right. They need some of that woo of the world to be shaved off by the hearing of the truth. Those are the sheep shearers, preachers of the gospel. So on his way, word gets out to Tamar that a father-in-law was passing through, and so Tamar determined to play the harlot. But Hira does not say, "Oh, my friend, do not do that. Take it easy, my friend." No, Hira does not do that. Yes, Judah's wife has died, and that means Judah is not married. The covenant that he used to have with his wife is no more, and that means he is free to marry another. If not, even to look for harlots. Because it seems this thing happened because his wife had died. Miss Tamar, it's a very good message. Just keep hearing, man, I'm telling you.
Hallelujah.
Miss Tamar, on hearing this, she changes her garments to widow's clothes. She clothes that at least gave her the impression that no man would be interested in her. And as long as she was wearing the widow's clothes, no man would be interested in her. As long as she looked like she was a righteous woman, no man of the stature of Judah were interested in her. Because the men like Judah, they're interested in prostitutes. Oh, my goodness. Verse 14. She took off her widow's garments, covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place which was on the way to Timnah, for she saw that Shelah was grown and was not given to him as a wife. So this was a way to keep herself undefiled by other men, as she was hopelessly waiting for Shelah to be given to her. So she determined to lure Judah and to get him to lie with her through trickery, and Judah fell for the trap. Tamar is outside advertising herself as a prostitute. That is to say, to show her sin in the open. And she happens to know the way that Judah used to use to go to Timnah. And Judah may also have used this way because it seems to be the way that prostitutes are found. But Judah seems also to be of a kingly character because he has a staff. He has a signet ring and he has a cord. This is stuff that is carried around or about by one who has a kingly stature in this type of society and culture. This is the stuff that shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. And we already established that Shiloh is Christ. So what is the king doing walking in the place where prostitutes gather and using a road that is known to be populated by prostitutes? If you are a person of dignity, you're not walking through the road where prostitutes gather around. What are you doing, Judah? Yes. You are a man of high standing in society. So why do you walk on the roads that are populated with prostitutes? The king is into prostitutes. Because if Tamar does not pose as a prostitute, Judah has no interest in her. Judah is only interested in prostitutes. Yes. I pray you are understanding where I'm going. Yes. This king is interested only in prostitutes.
Oh, yes.
And he knows one when he sees one. And he knows where to find them. The self-righteous girls, he has no interest in.
Yes. Yes.
This king, his path leads him only to the prostitutes. Judah loves prostitutes. What is this testimony of Judah? Let's go to Mark chapter 2. Verse 16 and 17. And when the scribes and the Pharisees, Mark 2, 16 and 17.
Yes.
When the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to him, to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? And you know what that means when the Bible says sinners? It means harlots.
Yes.
He is not just saying sinners, sinners. It's tax collectors and prostitutes. Mm-hmm. That is the correct rendering of that. How is it that he eats and drinks, he plays around with tax collectors and prostitutes? How is it that he has this intimate affair with harlots? And when Jesus heard it, verse 17, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician,
yes,
but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So the harlots, are they who are seeking for a man to give them an inheritance of salvation. So harlotry is a physical exercise. It's an occupation that speaks of greater spiritual gospel realities. But the harlots have no husband. They would not be harlots if they had a faithful husband. Harlots have no husband, so they can go out late at night. They are looking to be married. They are looking to be made fruitful by any man that they can find in the darkness of the night. So the harlots, the sinners, do what? Like Tamar, they sit out in the open on the road that Judah uses. When he goes out to check some of his sheep, they sit out to hear the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace because they may meet with Judah as he goes looking for his sheep. The harlots sit out waiting for Judah. Because something good may just happen. Verse 15. Going back to Genesis 37. When Judah saw her, verse 15, he thought she was a harlot because she had covered her face. When Judah sees you, when Christ sees you, who does he see in the first place? He does not see a righteous Patrick. He does not see a righteous person. He sees a harlot. He sees a sinner. Now you go and tell people that they are harlots. And they'll say, no, not me. I've never been on the streets. I've only had one husband from high school. I've only had one wife. So they have no use of the righteousness of Christ. Let's keep going. Verse 16. Then he turned to her by the way and said, please let me come into you. For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. Judah says, please let me come into you. So Judah is not a violent man in his approach even to prostitutes. He was a gentleman. Even towards prostitutes. And that means Christ. But those who are harlots are already related to Judah. Because Tamar was already the daughter-in-law of Judah before she played the harlot. So those who are sinners are already related to Christ by election.
Glory to God.
They were given to Christ by God the Father to be married to Christ and be made pregnant by Christ.
Hallelujah.
Tamar was related to Judah. And she was made pregnant by Judah.
Yes.
Those given to Christ are related to Christ by election.
Hallelujah.
And it is these that Christ has come to impregnate. Let's keep going. Luke 7. 36 to 39. Then one of the Pharisees, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 and to 39. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, which means a prostitute, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. What is happening? The harlot is being intimate with Jesus.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I have to repeat that. The harlot is being intimate with Jesus. And Jesus does not throw her off. Jesus does not rebuke her. Because Jesus is Judah. This is what he has come for. These are the prostitutes. These are his people. Oh, Lord have mercy. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him, saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a prostitute. How can he allow a prostitute to be around him and to anoint him, to kiss his feet, to do all these intimate details with Jesus? If this man were a prophet, he would have known that this woman was a sinner. The problem is, Jesus already knew that she was a sinner. Because for such he came. So Jesus allowed this harlot to show him this love and devotion because he was the prophet. And if you are not a harlot, Jesus has no interest in you. And Judah has no interest in you. Verse 16, let's keep going. Then he turned to her by the way and said, please, let me come into you. For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. So she said, what will you give me that you may come into me? Tamar says, will you give me something? What shall you leave with me so that we can sleep together? And Judah says, I will send a young goat from the flock. That's verse 17. So Judah proposes to send a goat. And Tamar says, no, that is not going to work. So she said, will you give me something better? Give me a pledge until you have time to send me whatever else you want to send me. I need something more tangible, something that cannot be taken away from me just in case something goes wrong. Give me something. The identity of the pledge. Verse 18, then he said, what pledge shall I give you? Those who do not know the gospel say, I need a new car. I need my business to do well. But hear the words of the wise. So she said, your signet ring and cord and your staff that is in your hand. And then he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. Pay attention to the things that were given to Tamar by Judah. There were things that identified Judah. There were things that spoke of Judah's authority. The signet and the cord and the ruler's staff. These are things that formed the identity of the person of Judah. And for them to be of any use legally in the court of law, they must be things that everyone knows about. Everyone knows that when you see these three things, they belong to Judah alone.
Oh, yes.
They could not be bought at the flea market. They could not be bought at the store. These are the fingerprints of Judah. They identify Judah 100% of the time. So this is some good evidence to keep for Tamar just in case there is a day of judgment that is coming. Mm-hmm. We're going somewhere. It takes long to work these things.
Hallelujah.
But if I go there too fast, you miss it.
Oh, yes.
And then what happened? Judah laid with her and she became pregnant. She conceived by him. So the harlot laid with the type of Christ and became pregnant. Now all who lie with Christ in the gospel sense get what? They get pregnant. They have to conceive by him.
Yes.
They have to bear fruit. But what do they get pregnant of? 2 Corinthians 1. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1, 18 to 22. 2 Corinthians 1. Paul says, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him was yes. Jesus is not yes and no. So when Judah was asked to give a pledge, he did not say no. He said what? I shall give you. Yes, yes. I shall give you the pledge. What shall I give you? Verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge.
Amen.
He's given us the Spirit in our hearts as the guarantee, as the deposit. So what has been given us by Christ is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Who gives the Holy Spirit as a pledge, as a seal. Is it some prophet, as I hear some prophets preach? Is it the apostle who gives the Holy Spirit as a pledge? No, it is God. It is Christ. When he comes and indwells the believer, that is the context of lying with Christ that was pictured in Judah lying with Tamar. Because when you lie with Judah, you get pregnant. When you lie with Christ, what happens to you? You are impregnated of the Holy Spirit. You are baptized by, in, and of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You get pregnant. There's no one who lies with Christ who does not get pregnant of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes.
So to get pregnant here is actually a gospel testimony that is the bigger picture. It is not talking about our human pregnancy. It is talking about spiritual pregnancy. We have been made pregnant by Christ by the giving of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes.
Now, everyone is pregnant. The question is, who is the father of the pregnancy? Everyone is pregnant.
Yes.
Who is the baby daddy? In the gospel that people have believed. But some say, oh, it is Papa. People and their papas. Papa is going to get you pregnant. But make you pregnant with what? Because Papa cannot save you. If Papa gets you pregnant with a false gospel, you are in serious trouble. He is playing games with you, because on that day, it shall be found that some are pregnant who were not made pregnant by Christ himself. Who shall come and say, Lord, Lord, remember on Saturday we began with Matthew 7. Many shall come on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, do wonderful things in your name, cast out demons in your name? Yeah? They were saying, what were they saying? They were saying, Jesus, we are pregnant by you. Yeah, please. They are saying, Jesus, we are pregnant by you. You are the father of our salvation.
Yes.
And Jesus says to them, I'll say to them, depart from me,
yes,
you lawless ones, I never knew you. So the word knew there is the Greek word progenosko. It does not mean I never knew Brother David.
Mm-hmm.
It means I never slept with him. Depart from me, you lawless ones. I never slept with you. That's what it means. So if you go to Genesis, it says the same word translated. And Adam knew Eve.
Yes.
And she bore a son. That's what Jesus was saying to these people. I never slept with you in the gospel sense. I never gave you my spirit.
Yes.
So depart from me. I never had an intimate relationship with you where I would have given you my spirit and made you pregnant with my spirit. I never slept with you to give you the truth of the gospel. That's what that is saying. Depart from me.
Yes.
I never knew you. Verse 19 and 20. We'll keep connecting things. So she arose and went away and laid aside her veil and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the young god by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand. But he did not find her. So Judah sent the young god by the hand of his friend that he may exchange for his pledge. But the friend did not find Tamar. So what is the problem? Who is Hira? Hira's name means pure. It means distinguished. It means high. So Hira is a type of the law. He is a good and faithful friend. He is pure. He is distinguished because the law is holy, it is righteous, and it is good. And Hira is friends with Judah, but he brings a sacrifice to make an exchange that cannot help Tamar in the time of trouble. Oh my goodness. Hira is coming with a sacrifice that cannot help Tamar in the day of trouble. Because the day of trouble is coming for Tamar. Because Judah is going to hear about the pregnancy. So Tamar must go into judgment. And if Hira is successful in making the exchange, then Tamar is condemned.
Yes.
Because all her evidence has been taken away from her. Hear this, Hebrews 10:4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins.
Yes.
And what does Hira bring? He brings a goat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? And God says, it is not possible that Tamar should live if she agrees to this exchange with the goat. Because the goat does not have the identity of Judah in it. It could have been Brother Patrick's goat.
Yes.
It could be anybody's goat.
Yes.
I see the goats right on the street. Just grab one.
Yes.
So Hira did not find Tamar. Because Tamar cannot be redeemed by the blood of bulls and goats.
Yes.
Let's keep going. Verse 21, then he asked the man of that place, saying, where is the harlot who was openly by the roadside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. So now here, with his goat in tow, he asked the man of the place and said, guys, I need some help, some urgent help. Where is the harlot who was openly right here?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the sinner who was out here in the open? What was the answer? There was no harlot in this place.
Yes.
Why? Because the harlot had already slept with Judah. The harlot already has the pledge. The harlot has no need of anything else, because once she possesses the things of Judah, there's no iniquity to be found in her. The sinner in you shall be sought, and none shall be found, because all the sins that you have committed that shall be sought for, but none shall be found. Because God says in Jeremiah 50, verse 20. God says in Jeremiah 50, verse 20. In those days, and in that time, says the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought, but there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, but they shall not be found. Why? How? For I will pardon those whom I preserve. Your sins shall not be found, because God says, I have forgiven them. And so, no harlot in this place is what Jesus has done for you. There's no thief in this place. There's no adulterer or adulteress in this place. Because there's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ. That is God's way of saying the same thing. No harlot to be found in the church of Christ. Even though it is full of harlots, but there are no harlots to be found. Verse 22 and 23. So he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. Also, the men of the place said, there was no harlot in this place. Then Judah said, let her take them for herself, lest we be ashamed. For I sent this young goat and you have not found her. Judah says, I cannot find her. The men of this place say, there's no harlot in this place. We know not of a harlot. And that is a very scandalous testimony. Because that is Jesus saying to the woman caught in adultery, who was a harlot, who was caught in this place. He says, who condemns you? Neither do I condemn you. And that to say, there's no harlotry found in you. And yet she was caught with someone's husband. You didn't get it? No harlotry found in a woman who was caught in harlotry. No harlotry to be found in a place where the harlotry happened. And that's the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. Judah says to his friend, let her take those things of mine for herself. Let her take my things for herself. Let her have my scepter, the staff of my righteousness. She needs them. She is the harlot. She needs them more than I do. Let her take my righteousness for her day of trouble, because she needs my righteousness more than I do.
Oh, yes.
Let her take my righteousness. Let her take my redemption, my sanctification. This is what Christ has spoken to the sinner. Let her have my righteousness for herself. She needs it, because the day of trouble is coming. Let her have my signet ring. Why can't the harlot be found? We spoke to this earlier. In Psalm 103, we read this psalm two nights ago in the hotel. But just do verse 10 to 12, Psalm 103. Why can't the harlot be found? The reason is, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him.
Hallelujah.
As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our harlotry from us. Why can the harlot be found? Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 15. Let's go there. Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 15. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I'll write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there's remission of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. The harlot cannot be found because God has forgotten her sin.
Yes.
Why can't the harlot in you be found? Because the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. We talked about that. Salvation cannot be lost, because if it can be lost, then the harlotry in you is going to be found again.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be found again. So, verse 24. We're almost done. Going back to Genesis. And it came to pass about 3 months after that Judah was told, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. Furthermore, she is child by harlotry. So Judah said, bring her out and let her be burned. So I really need you to focus on this part of the story, because it is the conclusion of the story. Tamar has been discovered to be a harlot and to be pregnant. And Judah makes a pronouncement of judgment. It's judgment day for Tamar. And if things do not go well for Tamar, Tamar is not going home. If things do not go well for the woman caught in adultery, then she too is not going home. So Judah pronounces a judgment and say, let her be banned, let her be condemned, let her be killed, and that is God's judgment on all sinners. But there are some sinners that are pregnant by Judah. Not all sinners, but there are some sinners who are pregnant by Judah. And that means some sinners pregnant by Christ. Those who have Christ in them.
Amen.
Some sinners have things that they've been given, things that they've collected as pledges. But not all. Hear this, verse 25. When she was brought out, she sent to the father-in-law, saying, by the man to whom these belong, I am with child. Please determine whose these are, the signet cord and stuff. Tamar has game. She has no other testimony to vindicate her own righteousness. My brothers and sisters, please hear me. She has nothing else to talk about herself. Tamar is facing death.
Yes.
How shall she escape from this judgment?
Okay.
She brings out the things that identify Judah and nails Judah to be the one who is guilty. She brings the things that Judah willingly gave to her. Man, these words are so important. I don't know if you're catching them, man.
Yes.
But salvation is not something that you just do. Christ has to willingly give it to you.
Yes.
So that's the only thing you can bring back to him.
Glory to God.
And Tamar is justified from her harlotry. And see that Tamar does not appeal to anything for her salvation. She doesn't say, oh, you're my father-in-law, but I cooked ugali for you. I ironed for you. I did your bedding for you. I was fetching water for you. Those things don't work for Jesus.
Hallelujah. They don't.
That does not work in salvation. Good works cannot justify you before God. So we have to repent from that. Only what Christ freely gave you is what will justify you on the day of judgment. That's the point of this story.
Yeah.
Don't bring anything else.
Amen.
Only that which God has freely given you. So the question is, what do you have in your hands? Because people have things.
Yes.
And from whom did you get them? Who gave you the gospel that you say you have? And are you pregnant? Pregnant by what gospel? Who made you pregnant in the gospel sense? Because when Christ makes you pregnant, he gives you things that he recognizes as his. Things that he accepts as his, that means his righteousness and his Holy Spirit. He who does not have the Spirit of Christ is not his. Verse 26. That will be our last verse, I think. So Judah acknowledged them and said, she has been more righteous than I, because I did not give her to Shelah my son. Judah acknowledged them. Do you understand what this says? Judah acknowledges that he is the one who gave her these things. And that means Judah is the one who gets guilty for the sin of harlotry committed by Tamar. And this means Christ is the one who is acknowledging our sin on himself.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Do you have things that Christ acknowledges as his own when he sees them? She is right and he is right. He was not lying on me. I met her and I gave her my Holy Spirit and I gave her my righteousness. I recognize my righteousness. I recognize my spirit in her, so she belongs to me. So if I should be condemned, condemn me, the Christ.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
She has been more righteous than me because I did not give her to Shelah my son. Christ, on the judgment day, will only accept the righteousness that he gave you, not the righteousness that you bring to him. That is the point of this story. His righteousness alone. So when we tell people, you cannot preach the gospel of grace plus works, this is what we are saying. You cannot bring something to Judah, something to Christ that he did not give you. So this is the scandal of the gospel of God's grace. It will get you pregnant in a good way. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Who has made us pregnant with his Holy Spirit and with the knowledge of his salvation. It's wonderful. When you have grown in the things, go back to this message.
Yes.
It will bless you more than it has blessed you today.
Yes.
I know that. It's a wonderful message. It's speaking in different ways when we're speaking theologically. He's speaking to the condition of salvation. In other words, what does God require for salvation? What God requires, God gives.
Amen.
What Judah needed for Tamar to be redeemed,
it
is Judah who gave it.
Amen.
That's the point. But God says it in a different way, in a story that looks so shameful, that's so complicated. But the point is, Tamar went home a free woman, because she presented the things that were given her by Judah. Yeah? Amen. We're done. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this testimony of Christ in the story of Judah. The testimony of, again, your way of salvation to those who have been found to be sinners, those found to be pregnant. And how shall they escape on the day of judgment if they do not have the things that belong to Christ? And your gospel declares to us that it is well with us because of the Holy Spirit that has been given us and because of the righteousness that Christ has given us. And Christ will see those things that he gave us and he will acknowledge them as his. And therefore, the judgment of condemnation has been removed from us. As happened to Tamar with Judah, so it has happened to us with Christ. We thank you, Lord. We honor you for all things. We pray for a restful night and strength and recovery, and ask you for your blessing again as we meet tomorrow. We honor you, glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.